Said we're going to be looking in just a moment from a passage from James chapter 5 called The Prayer of Faith. The Prayer of Faith. Now, I have to tell you, as I said, I think that oftentimes this particular passage is probably more debated than done, perhaps more pontificated about than practiced. And so we're not going to do that today. We're not just going to debate it or listen to varying theories that I pray we're going to put this into practice here today, right here starting this morning, and in the days ahead. Now, how did this come about? This is not the first message in a new series. This is just a standalone message here today because on the first Sunday of the month, as elders, we gather, we meet to discuss matters of the church and to pray together. And we've been working through a study together on that, about biblical eldership, and just a challenge to us about what the scriptures say about the responsibilities of eldership, and it's very encouraging and challenging, convicting, all of those things. And last month, in March, we came to a section where the author was talking about this passage in James chapter 5, where it talks about those who are sick, calling the elders to come and anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith. And we have done that here from time to time. But it is somewhat rare. Occasionally we do that, but it's somewhat rare. And as we were reading through that and discussing that, I like the approach that the author of this book took, in which he was saying, look, you know, we can debate about exactly what some of these terms mean, but the real question is are we being obedient to it? I'm afraid you know that how it is sometimes we can read and read that again and again and are, well, I think it means this, well, it means that. Well, there comes a time when it's time to stop the debate and the questioning and to obey as best as we understand. And that's what I want to do here, that we feel as elders that this is something that we want to begin to do more is when there is need, when there is trouble, when there is sickness in our congregation, we want you to call upon us so that we can pray and pray in faith. Because as James says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And as you'll see in just a moment, that means you can be praying for us, for one another, because it says the prayer of a righteous person. And so we're going to talk about that too as well. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Just a moment, we're going to read from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Now, who is James? Recall, he is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. A half-brother. Why half? Well, they had the same mother, but they had a different father, didn't they? So he is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he and his other brothers, they didn't believe in Jesus in his earthly ministry. Isn't that something? Isn't that incredible when you see that, you know, I love the fact that Scripture records that. And sometimes we can get a little discouraged, sometimes maybe in our family relationships, you know, wonder what's going on. And, well, Jesus' own brothers didn't believe in him. Well, they did come to believe. I think it was probably after the resurrection they saw him and they knew and they believed. And James went on then to become a leader in the church in Jerusalem. And so this is a letter that he is writing to believers who are undergoing trouble, persecution, stress and strain, all kinds of problems. And as you know, it's a very practical letter too, encouraging us to live out our faith, not to just make a mere profession of it, but to live it out. In fact, he even says lip service faith is no faith at all. Just saying things, and if you say that, that's not real faith at all. That's evidence of a dead faith. It's not a real faith at all. Real faith demonstrates and shows itself in our actions. Now, he doesn't say that we're saved by works. We're not. We're saved by faith and faith alone. But he says real faith, genuine faith, shows itself. But he has some great words of encouragement, too. As he nears the end of his letter here, he says this to us. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So there is much to debate about in this passage, and we're going to touch a little bit on that. But we're not going to debate. We're going to do what it says. We're going to pray and believe what it says when we're encouraged to believe and to pray in faith. So the first thing it says, is any one of you in trouble? Got trouble? I love those advertising campaigns for the milk. That's a brilliant campaign. Got milk, and now you see it with all kinds of different things. Got this, got that. Well, in fact, last week, a couple of weeks ago, amazing how this just gets away from us, isn't it? Had a sermon title called what? Got fruit? Well, here the question is this. Got trouble? Anybody here? Raise your hand if anybody has some trouble here this morning. Anybody? Okay, that's a few. Raise your hand if you've ever had any trouble in your life. Any of that? Every hand goes up for that one, isn't it? Says, well, is anyone in trouble? You should pray. How many of you know that if we have trouble, we should pray? Anybody here know that? Yeah. What do we usually do, though? What's our first reaction, our first instinct when we've got trouble? What do we oftentimes do? What's our fleshly nature within us want to do? Worry, fret, complain, right? So I don't know about you. I'm one of the people who needs to be flat out and bluntly told and reminded of this and read this over and over again. Got trouble? Have any of you in trouble? Pray. What? Instead of worrying and fretting and complaining. Sometimes then we'll take it to the next level then, and if we can get past it, then we'll say what? We'll start trying to deal with this or respond to this trouble situation with some kind of plan of action, and that's good to have a plan, but sometimes if it's not bathed in prayer, it's just a human response, and maybe it's the wrong thing to do. So we're reminded, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Why should we pray? What is the value of praying? Some people, you need to do something. Don't just pray, do something. Why should we pray when we have trouble? Someone tell us. Why? Okay. All right, praying is showing it's a dependency on God. If I might put some words in your mouth, where we're shifting the burden of dealing with this from our own shoulders and putting it into God's hand and trusting God in this situation, right? Okay. What else then? Why else should we pray? Pray for God's guidance in that, for his wisdom, his direction. Boy, you know, this sounds familiar. James, how did he start off this letter? A famous passage, we flip over to chapter 1. What does it say? Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Trials of many kinds is another word for what? Trouble. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Okay, that God is using the trouble in your life and my life to do something good for us. And what is that? It's to give us the gift of mature Christian character. And again, I would say if you don't see the value in that, I would say, well, just wait. And you will. And when you see the value, then you say, oh, that's why we don't rejoice in trouble itself, but we rejoice that in it God is working to produce the fruit of mature Christian character, and that really is a wonderful gift. Well, where's the prayer? I don't see prayer in that. Well, here it is. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So I said, you know, I've said before, you may have heard this passage. We've maybe quoted that whenever an important decision to be made, you're looking for some guidance. Well, we quote this, and well, that's okay. That's well and good, but in its context, the wisdom is specifically for what? How to deal with trouble. Lord, how do I deal with this trouble? And Lord, how do you want to make me into a stronger and more mature Christian man or Christian woman through this? That requires wisdom, and that's guidance through this. So James begins with a call to prayer in trouble, and he ends it with a call to prayer in trouble. So various troubles, trials, tribulations. James is talking to a persecuted church. So there are going to be all kinds of different things. And what should we do? Pray. When we pray, we're acknowledging our dependency on God. We're opening ourselves up to God's wisdom and guidance. I say there's a lot of more reasons, but one more is prayer. And I don't understand. I don't know why God does this, but does God need my prayer or your prayers to do anything? No. But he tells us to pray, and that our prayers make a difference. As he says, what? The prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective, that God chooses to work in and through our prayers. He doesn't need them, but he chooses to do that. Prayer makes a difference. Can anybody here testify that prayer makes a difference? Yeah. Got trouble? Pray. Paul said what? Don't be anxious in anything, but in everything, but prayer and petition with thanksgiving in your heart, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Got trouble? Pray. How about this one here then? Are we happy? Let's sing praise. Are you happy? Let's sing praise. Sometimes we have got trouble and we want to, and it's not always our first instinct, but we need to pray. Other times, though, our hearts were filled with joy. And by the way, this can be regardless of circumstance, isn't it? Sometimes we can be in the midst of great trouble, we can still sing praise, can't we? But where there is joy, where there is happiness in our hearts, we should sing praise. Why do you think the text tells us to sing praise? Someone answer that? That's right. It's reminding us of the source of the blessing. How many of you, I know I'm probably the only one here, and I want to ask you to raise your hands on this one here. But how many of you here, when there's been some particularly good news or something has worked out in a way that's very pleasing to you, how many of you have been tempted to maybe think of that then in terms of like, well, aren't I clever? Or look what my hand hath wrought, right? But when we sing praise to God, it's hard to give credit to ourselves then, isn't it, when we're singing praise to God? So we're giving credit where credit is due. We're strengthening our hearts and our souls through that. And God deserves it, doesn't he? Got trouble? Pray. Are you happy? Sing praise. You might say, well, I don't see anything controversial in that. What's it? Well, here's where it gets a little controversial. Like I said, we're not going to get bogged down in it, but what about this whole business here of, says, is any of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Is any of you sick? Well, if you're sick, what are we being told here? Well, pray. That's certainly trouble, isn't it? To pray. It's implied that there's confession of sin, if there is sin involved. And then about receiving encouragement, comfort, and support from the elders, from the spiritual leadership in the church. Well, that's fairly straightforward. What's the argument? What's the debate? Well, a few things. First of all, some have wondered, what is this sick? Is this only about a physical sickness? Or is it even about physical sickness at all? Is it a sickness of heart, of discouragement, a soul sickness, if you will? Well, scholars have argued back and forth on that. Here's my brilliant conclusion. Is this about physical sickness or about a spiritual sickness of the heart? Here's my conclusion. Yes. I don't think it has to be one or the other. And I think that there's good indications for both of those perspectives in that. So sometimes our sickness isn't just physical, is it? It's a sickness of heart and a discouragement of heart. A sickness there. You might say, well, where do you get that? Sick sounds pretty physical. Well, because as you know, the Bible wasn't originally written in English, was it? It was written in another language, and we're translating it into English. And another way you could translate that word there, which we translate sick, could just be weakness. That's the weak of heart that we're talking about and why some take it that way. A weakness of heart, a discouragement of heart. So that's what I say. I don't think we need to get caught up in one or the other. I think if you are deeply discouraged and sick physically or in heart, you certainly need prayer, but maybe you need someone to come alongside you to help, to receive some encouragement and some comfort and support. Isn't that great how we can always go to the Lord and pray, but haven't there been times in your life when, boy, it sure is nice to have a fellow believer, a brother, sister in Christ, come alongside you and pray with you and for you? And I think that's what this is talking about here. Okay, well, there's our debate about the sickness. What's the other? Well, the oil. What does the oil mean here? Someone said, well, it was a medicine. It serves a medicinal purpose. And so it would be, in effect, it's like if you were to come and pray, and if we put it in our terms, go and take some medicine with you, an aspirin or whatever, and pray. That concept, the oil is medicinal. Others say, no, the oil is an aid to faith, that it's something to help people to believe. Maybe something when you're deeply discouraged, very sick or sick in heart, and it can be hard to pray in faith, and the oil is an aid to faith. And then others would say, well, this oil is a symbol of God's presence, and it is a symbol that a person is being presented to God for his special care and attention. But when you see in the scriptures, you see someone being anointed with oil, what? That is representative of someone being set apart by God and for God, a special recipient of God's care and attention. Well, which is it? Yes. Does it really matter exactly what it is? Now, as for myself, I think it probably is we're told to do that because it represents it's comforting to a person, and it's a symbol of God's presence and special care in their life, a reminder of that. But I don't have a problem with the others. So do those things, and then what? The prayer of faith will bring healing. And it brings forgiveness through confession as well. Prayer of faith. Well, okay, what is the sickness? What is the oil? Well, here's the one that really gets debated then, this prayer of faith. Are you saying then that if someone is physically ill, if we do this And we really believe it. If we just pray hard enough with enough faith, God is going to heal him. He has to. It's guaranteed, right? Says it right there. Is that true? Will God always do what we want if we just believe hard enough for him to do it? Well, Jesus said, didn't Jesus say, ask me anything in my name and I will do it. So what? We tack on in Jesus' name to our prayers and he's going to do it, right? No, there is an understanding, an implicit understanding throughout Scripture. God encourages you and me to come boldly in faith, doesn't he? But there's always an understanding that God is sovereign, isn't he? And his will, that there are times when sometimes God is he will respond to that prayer of faith and he will do what we ask if and as he wills. That prayer was a difference. And then other times we can pray for some things and that's simply not going to happen. God has not willed that. Well, how do we know what the difference is? We wait and figure out. No, we just what? Pray in faith, and we leave that in God's hands then, don't we? Trusting him. Trusting him. One other little controversy then, some will look at this, they're saying, what, are you saying that someone is sick because of sin in their life? Here's my answer. Sometimes, yeah. Maybe our sinful things have made us, sinful activities have made us sick. Or yeah, anybody here think that sometimes physical illness is a part of God's discipline in our lives? I think so. So, therefore, every time you're sick, you got the sniffles or whatever, you better confess your sin because God's making you sick because of it, right? No. Ultimately, all sickness is because of sin, isn't it? Capital S, sin, right? But instances of sickness in our lives isn't directly related to, oh, well, that's because you did this or you said that. And no. But sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. I thought God was good and loving and he makes us sick? That doesn't seem like a very good thing for a good and loving God to do. Anybody here ever noticed how incredibly attentive you can become when you're sick? How easy it is to forget God when everything's going right, great and you're feeling good. If this life was all there was, if this existence for 70 or 80 years on this planet was all there was, then I would say, well, I want to feel as good as I can for as long as I can. But what if your existence and mine and this existence on this planet was just like this much of your real life, which is for how long? Eternity. Would you have a problem with God maybe sometimes taking a more extreme measure to get our attention and get things right for eternity instead of this? I think sickness sometimes is a way of God getting our attention. Not all the time. But sometimes. In fact, we even have right directly in the Scriptures in 1 Corinthians 11. It talks there what? Where Paul says there were people that were abusing the Lord's Supper. And you might think, well, boy, that doesn't seem... what was the big deal with that? Well, they were coming together as God's people. Abusing the Lord's Supper means they were taking the wine of communion and getting drunk on it and engaging in behavior, inappropriate behavior. So Paul said, some of you are sick. And some of you, what? Sleep. You're dead. So because someone is sick, we don't go up to them, well, let's see, do you have a sin you want to confess to us? Come on, what'd you do? What'd you do? No, but maybe there is something there that needs to be confessed. And I think this is telling us then, if that is it, if God wills to heal, if there is this, then what will happen? Says what? If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man, a promise is given to us here. What is the promise? The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Do you believe that? Anybody believe that here? Let me tell you something. I saw something amazing. I'm not telling you anything because this was in the newspaper. Okay, so I'm not telling secrets here. It was in the newspaper. You may have seen it. I volunteer with the Wonder Lake Fire Department as a department chaplain, and so I have a monitor, and I hear the calls, the 911 calls. And I will go on calls, like bad things. And by the way, pray for this, because you'd be surprised what goes on even in a community this size, the sadness and the tragedy. Well, there was a call Wednesday night for a one-month-old baby that was having trouble breathing. And so the first thought was, I'll go over there. And then the call comes in a minute later, the baby's not breathing. So that gets your attention. So you get over there. Well, by the time I got there, the ambulance had already been there and left. They just, you know, picked him up and were headed into the hospital. And I'll just tell you, this, it was pretty grim. It looked bad. You know, the baby was blue, was not breathing, a very, very shallow heartbeat. And went in and talked a little bit with the family there. And one of the persons in the family said, can you pray? And I said, of course. And so we prayed together. Went into the hospital then and found out, guess what, from the ambulance crew, that it was right about that time that all of a sudden baby's heartbeat shot up and he started breathing. I believe that prayer is powerful and effective. Now, you can pray for that baby and you can pray for that family because you may have seen in the news, unfortunately, there were some suspicious marks, bruises on that baby. And that father was arrested the next day then for suspicion of shaken baby syndrome. But I believe God saved that baby's life. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Are you a righteous person? Anybody here feel really righteous? Let me tell you something. I, in myself and my flesh, I am not righteous at all, and that's why I needed a Savior. So who are these righteous people that are talked about here? Well, I think we need to consider it on a couple of levels. One is being right with God by faith. A righteous person is someone who's in a right relationship with God by faith. It's a believer in Jesus Christ whose sins are forgiven and who has been made whole and clean and holy in Jesus. You are righteous. You may not feel righteous, and in your sin and your human nature that you're not at all, but if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are righteous because you have God's holiness. So first of all, if you are right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, you are a righteous person. But I think there's another element here, though, that we need to consider too, and that is the righteousness, which is that being not only right with God by faith, being forgiven, but there is a righteousness of a proper and appropriate walk with God, isn't there? Where we're walking with Him daily, confessing our sin, and certainly not being sinlessly perfect, or none of us would ever be qualified to pray. But have we uncovered the hidden sin in our, ask God to uncover that stuff? Are we walking by faith with Him? Are we on good terms, I guess, if you will, with Him? That's a righteous person. And the Scripture says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. But what about faith? Do you believe? It's the prayer of faith, isn't it? Do you believe that prayer is powerful and effective? Faith isn't, if I want something and if I just believe hard enough, God's going to give it to me. Faith is I believe God is good and can do all things, and I have entrusted him with this, and if he wills this, he will do it, and I believe that. And by the way, Lord, if this isn't it, then will you change and mold my heart so that my heart's desires are in accordance with what you will and desire? The prayer of faith. Yeah. Let's give praise. Let's close. Would you all stand as we close in prayer? God, for all that we have prayed here today, we know there is much, much more that hasn't been said that is in our heart. That there are many of us here, Lord, who have trouble. Remind us to pray, Lord, not to worry or fret or manipulate circumstances, but to pray. Lord, remind us when we are happy that you are the true source of that blessing. And Lord, when we are sick, physically or a sickness of the heart, Lord, remind us that we can call on others to come and encourage us and support us. To anoint with oil, Lord, I believe is that symbol of your special care and presence in that person's life. Encourage us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.